Oh, we wanted chaos, and we got chaos. What a beautiful thing. Welcome to your Monday here on Sportsnet 960 Fan. I'm Peter Clark. He's Logan Lord. Over there is Riley Pollock. Logo, we got a bit of the chaos we wanted on Friday with the draft lottery that we can now officially call just phase one of the draft lottery, because there's going to be a phase two.
Yeah, you wanted to court chaos throughout all of this discussion that we had Friday around the NHL's draft lottery, and I can honestly say, while 1, 2, and 3, your master plan of chaos didn't quite come to fruition, the number one overall pick going to a team yet to be determined certainly still counts as chaos, and the reaction was mixed all weekend long. The reaction was mixed Friday night after the lottery. I'm still a little bit stunned that we're in this position. I'm sure the Ottawa Senators are a little stunned we're in this position. But, I mean, wow. The fact that some of these teams out there can still actually get first overall is a little bit incredible. And, yes, we got chaos. You must be so happy.
I'm thrilled. Yeah. Again, as you mentioned, one, two, and three up for grabs would have been the ideal scenario. But this worked out perfectly. I was watching and listening along on Friday and burst out laughing when the first Senators pick came up five, and then when it was three. And I let out a cheer when we saw just the NHL logo for number one. I am so happy. And we'll get into what does it all mean in a little bit. But Riley, that second draft lottery is going to be must-see television.
Yeah, that's super exciting stuff. And more so just probably a lot of teams that were like fringe teams, probably not going to be playoff teams. Their fans are probably hoping for a loss. A 12.5% chance to win is a pretty decent chance.
Yes, no, and that's the thing. Like, you're going to go into this next one with that there isn't one team that has a better chance than the other. Everyone's going to be on equal footing going into that. It's going to be just such an absolutely made-for-TV event. But it does bring up the question, and Elliot brought it up in 31 Thoughts. By the way, welcome to Pinder and Steinberg, the Pinder and Steinberg-less edition here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. He brought this up in 31 Thoughts, saying he didn't know if this was a great thing for the NHL or if this was a bad thing for the NHL. We don't know who is going to be the number one pick. And we know who's going to be the number one pick. We don't know who's going to be making that selection. And we don't even know who's going to be up for it. But there, Logan, like you said, there's been a lot of discussion over the last 72 hours about this. What do you think? Overall, like, chaos and fun aside, do you think this is a great thing for the NHL or a bad look for the NHL?
For now, and until we know who gets that first overall pick, I'm actually going to say it's a good thing, because I think it adds a whole extra level of intrigue and dialogue. It's stuff for us to talk about. I mean, we can go through literally every team in the play-in round and talk about their validity or worthiness, if you will, of, you know, getting that first overall pick and whether winning a five-game play-in series is worth it for that team. And I think there's a lot more discussion and talk around the NHL for the next little bit and until we get to those eight play-in teams that lose. Now, if that pick goes to a number of teams, Edmonton, I'm looking at you, Toronto, I'm looking at you, there's a handful of those teams where if that's the team that gets the first overall pick, bad news, disaster, things look very, very bad and fishy for the NHL. But I think for the most part, until we get to that point, this is a positive. I think this creates a totally new wrinkle that we've never seen. There's teams that would never have a chance at getting this first overall pick that now have a completely different way to look at their season if they wind up losing that play-in round.
Yeah, and I think this is actually good for the NHL too. And yes, if Lafreniere ends up with Pittsburgh or Toronto or Edmonton, there's going to be a lot of eye rolling. If he ends up with Arizona, it's going to be hilarious because it's another lottery that Taylor Hall won. But I think this is overall a good thing for the NHL, because every league right now is battling against tanking. You do not want teams going out of their way trying to be bad. You want as many teams as possible trying to be as good as possible. And every league is trying to balance a draft lottery where you reward, or maybe not reward, but where you give lesser teams a chance at getting great players so you continue that cycle through and you don't have teams that are awful for a decade. But you also don't just want teams that are crappy for the sake of being crappy so they get a chance at a draft pick. And I think with this lottery now, you can at least say to teams, like, look, this isn't a guarantee. You, just because you had one of the worst seasons in NHL history, Detroit Red Wings, and you are outscored on average by 2 goals a game, just because of that, you don't automatically get guaranteed this franchise-altering player. So I think in the battle against tanking, I think this is a pretty big win for the NHL, and I think this is also going to show that, or it's also going to be just an unbelievable scene in a few weeks if we actually get draft lottery phase two.
Oh, it's, I mean, I can't even imagine really what the lead-up's going to be if we're talking about a handful of teams that really don't need Lafreniere and all of a sudden they're in that and you're talking about a 1-in-8 shot, or even locally, you know, look, the Flames or the Jets, two Canadian teams really in this. I know Riley was slightly excited on Friday because his Habs now sitting with a chance. There's a lot of Canadian teams even now that, you know, wouldn't be in this conversation are now right in this conversation, and all of a sudden our entire, you know, programming and what we're talking about here on a local level, think about how that changes if the Flames get bounced by Winnipeg. We were going to be full straight into the offseason. What's Brad Treliving going to do? We're going to be dialed in on the Flames potentially picking number one overall.
Yeah, and I mean, it's funny that every Canadian team except for Ottawa now, right, has an opportunity at this. Which is, yeah. I mean, when you think about it, kind of hilarious. But no, it's going to keep things here pretty engaged. And I think that second draft lottery is going to be so fascinating because it's not like this one where, like, Ottawa drops a couple spots. They're still getting 3 and 5. Like, the Sens, let's not weep too much for the Ottawa Senators today with 2 picks in the top 5 in a draft that everyone is saying is, like, 10 or 11 deep. Like, I'm not too concerned about the Ottawa Senators right now, but you either get first or like 15th. Like we've never had a lottery where the chances or where the like success is so high, but failure drops you so low, and that is a risk. As we hear already, Vancouver and Minnesota fans appear to be who can tank harder because like it's. If it were up to the fans, the puck would just sit at center ice for 60 minutes and hopefully a gust of wind bursts it into a net at some point because neither team should even bother trying. If you want to take this and take your 12.5% chance of getting the first overall pick, go nuts. But if you fail and you're dropping down to 9, 10, 11, or 12, like I just, as much as I like chaos, I don't think tanking in this situation is really worth it for any of these teams.
No, and to be honest, I as far as tanking goes, and in this sort of scenario, with, you know, COVID being what it is, the restart being what it is, I don't think at this point anybody is realistically saying, hey guys, look, you know, we've only got to get through this 5-game series, you know, let's not really give it our all. You know,
yeah.
Better things are coming if we happen to lose this. You know, I think more than anything, it just becomes a potential silver lining if you happen to lose and you weren't going to be in that position anyways, right? Like, there's teams that would never have had the chance at the first overall pick if this was a regular year and you were a playoff team. You were guaranteed to be picking 15 and up. You know, in this case, if you lose it and somehow the lottery balls land your way, it's a pretty damn good silver lining, but it's one you wouldn't have had under regular circumstances.
Yeah, it's just a really awesome safety net, right? Like, it's just, if this ends up going not the way you want
it. Yeah, someone's season gets completely looking a different way if you happen to lose the play-in round. That's what happens.
Yeah, exactly. From a Flames perspective, though, like, and I agree with the point you just made. Like, you're not going to say, okay, look, we are in a worldwide pandemic, and we're going to take you away from your family, potentially for a bit, but maybe not. But if you could just go into this bubble, where you're going to be, for the most part, pretty isolated, but then not try so that we can get a better draft pick, that would be super duper. Like, you're just, mm-hmm. you're not going to tell any of your players that. But I think from a fan perspective, it does get a little interesting, I guess. Not that, look, the tanking thing, I understand the logic behind it. And if you have systems like especially Major League Baseball's or the NFL's where there's no lottery and just if you suck, you get the first overall pick. If it ain't going to be your year, by all means, throw a 15-year-old out there and just see what happens. But from a fan perspective, I've never understood the cheering for losing and stuff like that. Like, it's just not quite as fun. That being said, I'm interested to hear the text line's perspective on things because this can tend to be a fan base that around this time of year or around playoff time, I guess we're past when the playoffs normally would be, but around playoff time can get a little gun shy about their team's chances. Does this change how people view the Flames going up against the Jets in a, look, I don't think we got much of a shot anyway, so just lose and let's get that first overall pick chance? Or is it going to be, let's just get after this thing? I'm interested to see how Flames fans in general take in this news and take in the Flames against the Jets.
Yeah, and you know what? I think I'm sure it'll probably be the same or similar. I mean, maybe I'm wrong when people text in to 960-960 and tell us. But I think that there was a cautious optimism from fan bases like Calgary and Toronto and even Winnipeg to a degree. There wasn't as much of the Vancouver-Minnesota back-and-forth stuff of, oh, hey, let's go out and get the first overall pick sort of mentality. I think it was a, hey, at least we've got a chance if we lose to Winnipeg. I think the sentiment is going to be, let's win and beat Winnipeg, go from there. But if we do happen to lose, there's worse consolation prizes in the world. That's what I yeah. think. But I don't speak for the fan base.
A couple texts at 960-960. Go Jets! I like the draft odds.
Well, and you have to. You have to like the odds. I mean, if you're telling me I got a 1-in-8 shot at first overall.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah. It's funny how teams that were upset about having to be in these play-in games, like the Edmontons and teams like that, and now all of a sudden it's, oh, you know, this isn't so bad. You know, if we run into a hot carry price for a few days, whatever. I guess Pittsburgh will be in the draft lottery then. You know, like, now all of a sudden, like, Philadelphia's pissed. Like, hey, come on, we just squeaked it. Like, what are we doing here? Come on. I'm kidding, of course. They're already in the playoffs. But someone texting in, best-case scenario, Flames win the Cup. Second-best scenario, Flames win the draft lottery, draft Lafreniere, and sign Taylor Hall. So we're just rattling through a few different steps in that one. But no, I'm interested to see. Someone else saying, give me that pick, fellas. It's hockey in summer. I'm losing a bit of love for the game right now. Calgary has never had a number one pick, really. Let's go. I'll admit this is a bit more negative to start than I was initially anticipating. And the cheering for summer hockey and stuff like that, I think that's a conversation for another day, because I think it's rather fascinating, the talk of, oh, it won't be a real championship, because I think once you're in it as a fan, it's going to feel like a real championship once you're battling for it, or once your team's battling for it, and you're living and dying with every moment. But I think that's a deeper discussion for another day. But I'm surprised. I thought more people would be, screw you, this is stupid, go after the playoff run. So yeah, I'm a little surprised what I'm seeing on the fan feedback line early on.
And you know what? I think that if you changed it even slightly and you said you have a chance to pick between 1 and 3, I think majority of fans automatically say, ah, let's focus on winning. Don't worry about the draft pick, that sort of thing. But I think the fact of the matter is that it is number one. There's a consensus number one in Alex Lafreniere. I think that really changes things in the outlook of it, that you're not just getting a potential guy. You're getting a guy that could enter your lineup as soon as next season and make an impact and go for the Calder Trophy and all that. And I mean, you guys are right on here. These opportunities don't come around very often. You know, the highest the Flames have ever picked was 4th overall. And with all due respect to Sam Bennett, it wasn't the best pick of all time. So right. If you find a way in all of this madness and chaos to wind up with that number one overall pick, and like I said, it's unexpected. No one planned for it. You wouldn't have thought you were in this position. I have a hard time looking at it as not a huge positive for your team. I mean, that's really the best way you can look at it, because you wouldn't have been in this position if it wasn't for all this madness.
I do wonder what result makes not being in that lottery worth it, right? Like, say you go out, you beat the Jets, a huge statement from a core that desperately needs this type of a win, and then you go up against St. Louis and just get buzzsawed for four games and you're out. Like, just right to the woodshed. At that point, it's like, I'd have taken the pick. I think I would have rather the pick at that point. But, like, if you make a run to the Western Conference Final, is it worth it then? Like, I think it's a fascinating discussion and an interesting look at fandom when you dangle this carrot out there in a situation like we've never seen before.
Well, and I mean, look, you make a really good point. What's acceptable? Is a play-in round that, you know, just technically makes you a playoff team more valuable than a 1-8 shot at a number one overall pick? I don't know. That's a pretty good conversation to have, and it's a worthy debate. I mean, even if you sit there and say we beat Winnipeg in a 5-game series, can you honestly say that this Flames core has overcome the hurdles that happened to them against Colorado last season? This isn't a 7-game series. This technically isn't even a playoff series. You're going to be playing by regulation rules. This whole thing could come down to a Game 5 shootout, for all we know. Like, this is not a playoff series. It feels like a playoff series. It's not a playoff series. So, you know, to your point, what can we learn? Can we honestly sit here and say that they've learned their lessons because of that if they happen to make it to the next round, quote-unquote, and don't make it any farther than that? I don't know that I sit here and say, okay, yeah, they won a playoff round, and I feel better about them, because I really don't think you can look at it like that.
No, I agree, and that is, I think, that's why, and not just because we cover the team. I think the Flames are one of the most fascinating teams going into the play-in round and going into the postseason, because if they do well, are we going to say, okay, well, they've obviously learned this core has taken a next step. You can win with Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan, so carry on. And if they don't do well, do you blow things up? Because that's kind of where I was at with this one. If this group didn't learn from Colorado, it ain't going to learn from anything. So I was fascinated to see how they handle the playoffs, and now I'm fascinated to see what we learn from a play-in series, what we learn from empty arenas. You don't... Because that is part of it. It's not just the importance and not just the style. It's okay, you're down 2-1. You're going into hostile territory. How are you handling that situation? You're not going to, unless the PA announcer's mean to you or something like that, you're not really dealing with that adversity. So really, how much do you learn from this thing?
Yeah, and it's interesting now that the text line's kind of exploded the last little bit as we've gotten into this, and we've started to see more of the win rather than take the pick chance, which is interesting because it started off, like you read out a few of those texts, that it was very pro go for first overall and not worry about the play-in series. So interesting, because I think the response is going to be mixed by a lot of people unless it's a deep playoff run, and you know, then you can really say that you've gained something from it. Whether or not that's true from a play-in perspective or not, I don't know, and it's hard to weigh because, like you said, if you do lose that play-in series and you don't get the first overall pick, things look a lot less rosy for your offseason.
Yeah, that is because, again, everyone has the same odds, but you do have like 87.5% chance you're not getting that thing. Mm-hmm. And like it's fun to romanticize about it, but odds are if you lose against the Jets, you're picking like 13. And that's I mean, it probably a fine player, but still an issue. And so, no, I don't think should go into any situation tanking. But, yeah, no, I think.
No, and if we had said that to fans at the beginning of the season, look, you guys, we're going to be picking 13th overall. I think most fans would be pretty upset by that.
Yeah, because that would mean
right?
you didn't make the postseason. Yeah, totally.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting what a couple ping pong balls can make people start thinking. A couple more texts at 960-960. Want the Flames to win the Cup, but I'm near certain this team, as it's built, can't get it done. So I would prefer to lose to the Peg and try to get the first overall pick. This one, countering that, 87.5% chance you don't get the top pick. You play to win, and a chance at a top pick is a good consolation if you lose. Worst case, you lose in three, then lose draft lottery and end up at 13 or 14. I think everyone would want to see Lafreniere against McDavid, Battle of Alberta, for the next decade. Sure. Yeah, I can get that. Losing the play and not getting first overall would be a kick in the plums. Absolutely, it would be. You play sports to win always. You cheer for your team to win always. Otherwise, you're just a bandwagon jumper. Go Flames. So yeah, it is pretty well 6-1, half a dozen to the other right now. I'm surprised at that a little bit. I thought there would be more people calling me an idiot for even suggesting this and giving me the Herm Edwards, you play to win the game speed. One thing I do want to stress before we shift gears on this topic, I'm not suggesting for one moment that you tell your players, it's all right to lose, because that creates real bad atmospheres. That's what went wrong, in my opinion, up in Edmonton when they had all the first overall picks a team could want, and they just never got out of the starters block. You just kept telling those kids, look, it doesn't matter if we win or lose this year. We're still rebuilding. We're still tanking. There was never any urgency. And that creates a loser mentality, which creates a loser franchise. And you need a once in a generation player and another superstar type player to drag you out of that. And that's what we're seeing up in Edmonton. So never, ever, ever should a player have a tanking mentality. I'm just interested to see where the fans are at with this whole thing. It's an interesting discussion and one that's not going away. And it comes from a situation with the NHL draft lottery that obviously I think the big winners, of course, the fans because of chaos, but there were a couple pretty clear and obvious losers. And that would be the Detroit Red Wings and the Ottawa Senators. Who did Friday sting more for, the Sens or the Red Wings?
Oh, it's so hard not to pick Ottawa as a huge loser in this just because of the potential to, you know, pick 1 and 2 or pick, you know, 1 and 3 or something like that. I think that was probably the hardest thing for Sens fans. And I mean, when you have two chances like that and they don't come around very often, right? I mean, it's not every day that you're going to be picking twice in the top five with two picks. And so is it hard to, you mentioned that, made the point earlier, is, you know, it's hard to feel bad for them having two picks in the top five. And while I agree with that to a certain extent, I still feel like the franchise could have used a victory, and, you know, even a second overall pick kind of still feels better than winding up with 3 and 5, especially when, you know, a team like a Pittsburgh or a Toronto or Montreal could be the one taking the first overall pick away from you. I think that's what stings most in the situation, but I agree with you to a degree. They're still picking 3rd and 5th. They're going to get two very good players by all accounts in this draft. And I think Detroit, it is what it is. This is, like you mentioned, the NHL is not a system that just rewards you with an automatic spot based on your standings. You have to go through the lottery like everybody else, and this is just one of those occasions where you didn't wind up with the first overall pick.
Yeah, I might be the other way on that, and it's weird for me to have sympathy for one of the worst teams that I've seen in my lifetime. But for Ottawa, they still get 3, and like, Lafreniere is potential franchise changer. Quinton Byfield, I think, is going to be real good. 6'4" centers don't necessarily grow on trees. And Tim Stützle has just absolutely really, really rocketed up people's boards and really impressed a lot of people who follow the draft on a day-in, day-out basis. And from everything I've seen and everything I've read so far, there is a bit of a drop between 3 and 4. And to not get one of those main 3 guys, I think, is a real kick in the gut for the Detroit Red Wings. I'm sure a Marco Rossi or a Jamie Drysdale or a Cole Perfetti or a Lucas Raymond or one of those guys will be just a fine NHL player for sure. And I do definitely need to do a bit more research on these. But it did feel like there was just a bit of a drop after three. And for the Red Wings to not get one of Lafreniere, Byfield, or Stutzel, I think is a bit rough for a franchise that needed something to go their way.
Yeah, and I'll say this, while the Red Wings have only recently, you know, learned what it's like to be on the bottom of the NHL standings rather than in the postseason for 20 years, I feel like I have more confidence in Steve Yzerman and company in Detroit to make something out of a fourth overall pick and make sure that that's an impact player for their franchise coming down the road than it would be. You know, even with Ottawa at five, I sit there and I go, man, I feel like Detroit at four, you know, I'm pretty confident they're going to make a good choice for their team going forward. And that sort of, and you know what, you're at the mercy of wherever you pick, right? So at a fourth overall situation, hey, as we've learned for Calgary, you know, Sam Bennett fell to them and was the obvious pick at four. You know, those sort of situations can still change and move around, and maybe Detroit feels like they get a top three player at four, or maybe they feel they get a top two player at four. I guess it's all about how you look at it and eventually what you make of that player. And I feel confident enough in a Detroit system that, you know, typically does pretty good with prospects that at four they'll do all right.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. There's still a lot to cover when it comes to the NHL draft lottery. We're going to keep going through that, including Logo mentioned, where we're going to have time to go through this and see which team should have a better chance than others. We know they're not going to. 12 and a halfs across the board. Who do we want to see get this thing? Who don't we want to see get this thing? We will cover that and a lot more as Pinder and Steinberg continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.